He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Markin. This is Car Keys.
And it is indeed. And in a previous show, we said we were going to talk about 2022 vehicles that are on stream to come online and to come into dealer showrooms. And we'll get to that in a little while. But I want to start out the first part of this particular edition with a discussion about Ford's Bronco, which has got teething problems, which are just growing by the hour from the standpoint of previous sales or orders being able to be deliverable. There are several thousand sitting in a lot near the production center awaiting Ford's solution to, of all things, a hard roof deterioration problem, which means in the molded roofs that are planned to be the match the vehicle color, there is a problem with deterioration under wet and wet weather. And that's all I'm going to say about it. But Ford has stopped deliveries in some cases. Owners are not going to get their vehicles for some weeks, if not months, longer than they were already originally delayed in getting them. And it is a mess. And as Jay has mentioned in earlier shows about Ford and some of its issues with new car launches, boy, is he spot on with this one.
Sadly,
it's interesting that Webasto, which is a major supplier, if not the only supplier of roofs, of hardcover roofs for the Bronco, has been in business for a long time. And for them to have a problem with a quality of manufacture of something as important as a hardcover roof for a major new launch is something that no manufacturer wants to have happen to them ever, but it's already happened. That's that on the Bronco situation. There is a Bronco over where I am recording this show from. I have not gotten up close to see it. I have seen it in a driveway. It is appears to be a gray one, and it appears to have a black hardtop roof. I want to get closer to it, but I have another a relative who has been awaiting his new Bronco for delivery, and it apparently arrived at the dealership with a shattered front windshield. And so we are going to see this relative shortly when I'm recording from, but we were hoping he was going to arrive in his new Bronco, and it is awaiting a windshield, and I don't know how long it's going to take to get a new windshield for that car. So there's another teething issue, not due to, theoretically, a defect in windshields. We don't know how it got shattered. The dealer just told him it arrived at the dealership with a shattered windshield. Whether that really happened or it happened on the dealership lot, we will never know.
Let me add one little problem they have, too, just to, harp on the subject. Apparently, when you drive at highway speed with certain models of the Bronco, depending on which grill you have, the car just whistles along.
And it's it what? Whistles?
It whistles, yes. There's a whistling sound coming from the front grill.
Do we know whether that's a hard roof issue, too, Jay? That's interesting. I hadn't read about that.
But anyway, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be a great vehicle when they eventually get it all together.
All the magazine reviews so far are stellar with their reviews of the Bronco and say how competent and capable and everything else it is in comparison with the Jeep Wrangler, which is its main rival in the market. So it's got all good reviews for it, for if they can get it to the market and to the people who want one with all these little niggly, maybe big niggly problems solved so that they don't spend a lot of time in the dealer's repair centers after they've actually received them to drive them. On the conversely, we have a lot of news on EV sales successes. I'll start with Norway. The interesting thing about Norway is the Ford Mach-E Mustang is the hottest selling EV in Norway.
Not only the hottest selling EV, I think, for both June and July.
But to the U.S., we have first half sales results for EVs, and Tesla's Models Y and 3 topped the list, but the Chevrolet Bolt third, and fifth down the line, I think, is the Ford Mach-E. And there's a Ford Mach-E over here where I am recording from, as I keep saying. And the owner of that Ford Mach-E is a husband of a couple whose wife drives a Tesla. And so she has the Tesla. He has just gotten his Ford Mach-E, and he says he likes the Mach-E more than he likes the Tesla that he has. So good news for Ford Mach-E's, but then we go to the dilemma Ford has with the Mach-E's, and they've got 50,000 to 60,000 of them sitting on the lots because they are awaiting chips or software connector things. So Ford's got problems on two fronts of two very important vehicles. Jay?
Well, I think that, well, the supply, the logistics problem Ford has is the same as every other manufacturer, right?
Correct.
Production, car production is just
delayed all over the place. I'll
right.
finish your sentence.
As we know, it's going to last for a while longer. So let's get to our new cars coming out.
Yeah, let's do that. Where do you want to start?
I'm looking at a very well done picture, advertising picture from Mercedes of their EQS, which is coming out this fall. And again, it's another very high end luxury vehicle, as the E stands for electric EQS. It is the electric version or counterpart of Mercedes S-Class Mercedes. So, you know, I think it's fair to say, and I believe that the S-Class Mercedes has always been like the most technologically advanced car in production. And over the decades, we've seen the features come out in S-Class Mercedes, trickle down to the rest of the Mercedes line, and eventually into more affordable cars. So there's certainly a trickle-down effect there. And the new EQS is interesting because it's a totally separate and different platform. So Mercedes is not trying to build their electric cars on the same platform as the gas-powered cars. It looks not quite like an S-Class. It's got more modern, but less conventional, let's say, design that's more maybe accepted by people who are buying electric vehicles. I mean, it doesn't have a Tesla look. I don't really love the look of it, but when you read the features, it is packed with all the tech stuff that the S-Class has. And I think it's going to be an important product in both Mercedes lineup and in as a benchmark in the EV world. But that's just, you know, that's, again, it's not a car you're going to see at every corner of the street.
No, but I do agree with you. I think Mercedes is doing a great job with the development of their vehicles. And as the European models transition into the E world, the electric world, that means basically you're talking about Mercedes, BMW, Audi, and then on the English side, the Jaguars, that you're seeing. They're all ready to go with these cars. There has not been as much product discussion in the general public's radar as has Tesla, of course, and
so,
the local ones of the local manufacturers, the Bolts.
So,
and the Bolts,
what strikes you in the new cars coming out, Robin?
Yeah, I know we're on new cars coming out. That's right. And I'm looking at the 2022 Volkswagen Golf R with a little subtitle saying a VW Golf that drifts. Now, drifting is an interesting situation with front-wheel drive cars. I am not a drifter, so I can't tell you the technology, but the article on this Golf R, which is going to be one of only two Golf models that's coming to the U.S. in 2022, the base Golfs have disappeared. Is getting a lot of accolades from Motor Trend magazine, and it's good that, as they say in the article, that the U.S. is going to be getting probably the best versions of this vehicle for the coming year.
The all-wheel drive version and a little more powerful version of the GTI that's been around since 1976,
right.
Although it's grown, of course, and become and has gotten to be a much more powerful car. So the power output, I think, with the two cars stays around the same in the 220 or 250 horse for the front drive GTI, and about and over 300 horse, just over 300 horse for the Golf R. I believe both cars will come, will be available with a standard transmission.
Six-speed, plus a seven-speed dual clutch. So anybody who wants a manual transmission car does not have a lot to look at, and the Golf should satisfy those who want a very wonderfully driving version of the Golf that's been around for years as the GTI. And good luck with that.
The one model we will not get in the Golf lineup, well, we're not getting any other than those two, but... And again, having been in Europe not too long ago, did come across the new GTD, and again, with a latest version of a diesel engine put in a GT, quote-unquote, GTI package, and it is just as great as a GTI with better mileage. But that's neither here nor there because we're not getting it.
That's right. So I'm going to continue on the 2022 gasoline version vehicles so far, and then we can go back to what you have, Jay. The 2022 Hyundai Santa Cruz, which is a truck that's not a truck, as the article says. They call it sort of a trucklet. What was the Subaru version of this, Jay, that was out years ago?
The Baja or the...
Baja?
What was the other... yeah,
it was
Baja.
A truck.
And actually, Subaru's coming out with a similar type vehicle. I think that's going to be based on the Forester.
Yeah, and it may not be here by 2022.
It will
not. No. The Santa Cruz is badged as a 2022. It looks just like a real grown-up Subaru in a lot of ways. Obviously, the front ends don't look the same, but the back and the contour of the roof line down, sweeping down into the 4x4 cargo area reminds me of that Subaru version of this this designed vehicle. It'll suit a lot of people. I do not know what is the Ford mini truck called? Not the Falcon, but
the Maverick.
Maybe it is the Falcon. Anyways,
no,
that's
the Maverick.
The Maverick. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's going to be a similar size vehicle, I believe. Albeit, I think it's going to come as all electric and only all electric.
No. The Maverick is based on the Broncos.
Well, one of them's coming is only electric, and it's going to be priced in the low 20s for people who just want something that does basic, like, garbage hauling type of stuff truck, as opposed to the big boys, which can do everything, including towing. What are those third hitch? What is the bed hitch called in the large pickup trucks? Where they can tow...
A gooseneck?
Big trailers, including
camper
vehicles.
Well, aren't there the two kinds? There's the hitch, and then there's the gooseneck, the thing that goes over the top.
Gooseneck, that's what I wanted, Jill. Thank you very much.
By the way, you're not able to hear Jay, and he is actually filling in these words. It's not that. All I know is that I tried to sell a trailer with a hitch, and they wanted a trailer with a gooseneck.
Well, that's good. The gooseneck hitches, which you can get in the big pickup trucks. With that in mind, I think the industry, there's a push to develop a real big heavy-duty industry and bring them into the electric world. I'm going to stay on record by saying I doubt that unless they have remote battery packs in the trailers that some of these trucks are trying to haul around, that means campers and that kind of thing with the gooseneck hitches in them, I do not expect that they're going to find a e-truck that will be able to deliver a 300-mile towing range when they're loaded down with a heavy towed vehicle.
I'm going to beg to disagree, and only to the extent that you have the same issue of range with a gas or diesel-powered truck when towing, and I see that with my Volkswagen when I'm towing my 6,000-pound trailer. My mileage goes from 30-plus miles per gallon down to exactly half of that. So the range, going way down with an electric tow vehicle is just it's just exactly on par with what's happening with gas or diesel power.
Yes, but until you have ubiquitous, I mean, just numbers of charging stations and fast charging capabilities of those electric vehicles, Jay, I don't care what you want to say to defending the that with the fossil fuel vehicles. 15 miles per gallon with a 30-gallon tank is still 400-plus miles pulling range, whereas you're not going to get that with an EV truck with batteries underneath trying to pull a 10,000-pound vehicle or tow vehicle behind
it. The new Chevy
I'm not the one that's really saying this isn't going to happen. You talk to the men, the male version of a truck driver on the street, and they don't think it's going to be ever possible. Now that may not be true.
But that's not a matter of opinion.
Well, we're not here to argue with Jay, okay? I just am guessing that it's going to be a lot longer to get these electric trucks able to do a 300-plus-mile range fully loaded than it is to be able to say that they can do it right out of the box as long as they don't put load it down to what its capacity to tow is going to be. And I hope that these magazines that test trucks like this will actually test these vehicles fully loaded to their maximum capacity and then give us a report on just how far they were able to get before they needed a charge, and whether it's practical to say that this kind of vehicle could be going across country on a daily basis, such as the camper camper crowd does when they go on vacations, and that they'll find charging stations that are going to be able to handle charging these bigger vehicles, which will take up a space of about 10 electric cars, to be able to recharge them in a timely manner so that they won't be a burden on electric truck sales when we get to that point where there won't be any fossil fuel trucks around, which I think is probably about 30 to 40 years away. So,
Jay?
That's it until Jay says it's going to happen.
Again, I there's no doubt that the infrastructure, electric charging stations, needs to evolve and evolve rapidly, but I think the range, if anything, the range on pickup trucks is already easier to achieve than it is with cars. Both Ford, I don't know what the exact numbers on the Ford Lightning are, but I know that with the Chevy Silverado coming out in about a year, which is based, it's the same platform and the same powertrain as the hump coming out just fall. The range is going to be with certain power packs is going to be 400 miles, and that is pretty much on par with gas powered pickup trucks. And I think that when you're going to be towing, you're going to go down to a 200-250 mile range, which is what you get with a gas powered truck. I think it's going to be very similar. And by the way, Chevy's coming out, GM is coming out with that electric Silverado. They're a little behind Ford's Lightning, but then again, GM may get it right. And I've read reports of Hummers being spotted in California. They're blistering fast, which a lot truck drivers really like. And I think it's going to, if I do think a good part of the crowd of people driving pickup trucks is just going to be easily attracted to electric pickup trucks. Once they try it, they'll like it. I mean, that's my hunch.
Let's go back to 2022 vehicles, because we're going to run out of time without only having covered three. You must have a bigger list, because that's about my list, short of sticking with a 2021 Honda Ridgeline pickup truck, which now looks more like a truck than it did.
Speaking of gas guzzlers,
it looks great.
I've read great reviews of the new, and we've talked about it before, it's a 2022 Jeep Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer. So this is the vehicle that is the biggest in the SUV lineup, in the Jeep SUV lineup. So it's bigger than the Grand Cherokee and the Grand Cherokee L, both of which are new platforms that came out in 2021 for the long version of the Cherokee, Grand Cherokee, and this year in the quote-unquote normal size of the Grand Cherokee. But the Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer are more like Chevy Suburban, Cadillac Escalade, side.
Lincoln Navigator.
Actually wider. I don't know about length. They're about the same. Wider and heavier than both the Escalade and the Navigator from Lincoln. And mostly, I've read really great reviews. Great fit and finish. The way the truck, it is a truck. It's based on a Dodge Ram 1500. The way it handles is not necessarily. Testers are not agreeing on the quality on the ride quality, but overall, it's a great vehicle. But it also has a good old fashioned V8. I think it's a 6.7 liter V8 that puts out around 475 horsepower. And speaking of range, because I'm sure the gas mileage is pretty horrendous, I'm sure the range is not going to be all that great with that vehicle. But all, you know, it's also an $80,000 to $110,000 vehicle. So it's
right.
Not for everybody, but one tester described it as being like the equivalent of the American equivalent of the Range Rover. So it's getting good reviews.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good thing. All right, and in the final 3 minutes, anyone want to say anything about how unconsciously a lot of people are still driving or not?
It's an ongoing problem. We could do this every show, and I don't want to belabor it. It's too bad that the whole population of drivers doesn't listen to us. Maybe we could improve it just by harping on how bad these drivers are.
Do you think that it's pretty interesting to me. You know how, there are a lot more drivers up here. People love to drive. And by the way, unfortunately, there's a demographic component too. Kind of like the older they are, in a lot of cases, you know how it used to be, older people driving was more diabolical. Now it's not as bad as it once was. But I mean, only because there seems to be just more of a willingness to, look around and see where you are sited in the environment.
Well, you know, this bit about driving has been going on for some time about how people don't want to return to subways and Amtrak type vehicles transportation to get to work. That may be part of the reason we have seen more cars on the road, but it's just, a lot of us were off the road for such a long time, and the roads were delightfully empty during that time, I might add. I'm sure Jay would agree, doing all the driving he does. But now things have returned to normal. I just made a trip back up and back to Maine to pick up a stepdaughter at camp, and going up was 4 hours and 10 minutes. Coming back was 5 hours and 40 minutes, because this was on a Saturday, and Saturday is, of course, is a weekend time, and it is a traveling time, and coming south on the Maine Turnpike and into New Hampshire and then into Massachusetts, it was clogged at many parts, and it just added that hour and 20 minutes or 10 minutes
so
or whatever.
So here's a simple tip. Plan your trip. Figure out when to start your trip.
When you're told you have to pick up a child at 10 o'clock in the morning and you can't arrive at 12, And so you have to plan your trip around the destination requirements as much as anything else. So you're right, Jay. It'd be nice if we could just plan our trip and figure out when the high flag times were at every point along a trip such as that. But it just is not possible to do it that way on a continuous basis, I don't think. And one word about Carvana. I'm in my final Carvana delivery process. They may have delivered my plate to my home address in Connecticut, but I'm not there to receive it. But that is the final step to completing my Carvana purchase situation, and I will say it has been 95% pleasant.
And when did it start?
In June.
The beginning of June, end of June, middle June?
Yeah, but Carvana didn't deliver my car with a emissions test, and I know we got to end.
We do.
Carvana sales in North Carolina county were suspended because they did not pre-emissions test the vehicles that they were delivering to customers, and they were also violating some other aspect of the car delivery situation, which could have applied to the cars in Connecticut if other cars like mine were not delivered with pre-emissions done on them when I took delivery. I had to go.
Well, that's something that we're going to have to, we will have to pursue, but you are, as you correctly stated, we're done.
Out of time.
Yep, he is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.